This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast.
Which is a thrash crossover band from Belgium. So I'll get right in and just introduce our two guests. So why don't you introduce yourselves? We'll start with you, Vanya.
Well, like you say, my name is Vanya. Good job on the pronunciation. It's not an easy thing. I'm the bass player of the band. Some backing vocals here and there. And I'm, let's say, one of the co-founders from the band from early days. Yeah.
All right, welcome.
We go. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's really awesome, man. Thank you for having us. This is really cool. We don't really do stuff like this a whole lot, so I think it's really cool to do something like this. But my name is Dan. I'm the singer in the band. I wasn't always a singer because for the first EP I did guitar, so I am a founding member like Vanya also. But then we had some lineup changes, the singer quit, and so now I'm doing both guitar and vocals right now.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan and Vanya. Why don't you, for the folks who are listening that haven't checked you out yet, why don't you just describe your sound real quick? Like, what type of genre do you play, and what are a couple of the bands that maybe are the biggest influence on your musical style?
Right. I think we draw influences from crossover style bands, you know, like Power Trip or Dead Heat or Lowest Creature is a band from Europe who also kind of does that style. But I think those bands have a little bit more like the thrash sound to it, whereas we use a bit more hardcore with it also. You know, we kind of blend these different styles. We have some metalcore riffs too sometimes, and some more like clean vocals. So we really like to, you know, use a bunch of different styles and try to make our own like a blend of that. So when we describe our music, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe because we often say like crossover hardcore, crossover metalcore. It's just a bunch of different styles, I guess, into a type of hardcore blend, I guess.
Well, those are usually my favorite bands that kind of experiment a little bit more and you know, have multiple different subgenres of hardcore or punk represented like in one song or on one album. So yeah, you've got a fan in me. And then the thrashy elements are really super cool too. I was really into Municipal Waste, maybe 10 years ago or so. I know they're still really popular, but I think Power Trip is also a great band and a good entry point for people who haven't heard you guys yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're playing again right now, aren't they? With like a new singer.
Yeah, I saw that. We'll see if they like do tours or something, but yeah, that was pretty cool. Hopefully they can like raise awareness about some of the issues that kind of befell Riley there. It's always a tragedy when someone dies young, but hopefully they can spread the word about how to prevent that kind of thing in other people.
For sure. Yeah, it'd be awesome to see that band again. It's unfortunate, of course, that it's not with Riley, but it'd still be sick to see them.
So one of the things that I always like to ask people is, you know, how did you first get introduced to hardcore punk or metal, if that was like kind of your entry point? These types of music, they're more than just something that you listen to when you're driving your car or maybe when you're like doing a workout or cleaning your house or something. This music, if you choose, is a lifestyle and kind of something that can follow you through, you know, your entire life. So how did each of you guys first get introduced to extreme music?
Well, I can say that I grew up with my nephew being a few years older than me. So he was, at that time, it was really the hardcore / nu metal thing that was going on for him. So I just unconsciously picked it up, I guess. You know, bands like, I remember the big poster of Sick of It All, the Built to Last truck. I remember that really well. And then things like Deftones. So that's how I picked up at an early age. And then I guess you just kind of stick to it. I mean, if it works for you, it works on all levels, right? I mean, it's very intense, it's powerful. So when you're young, you just get blown away by stuff like that. And you're like, fuck yeah, this is cool. And it kind of sticks to it. And I think at an older age, you realize it's emotionally, psychologically, it's a big help as well. So I think, yeah, it's that's where I just, yeah, through my nephew. I think it's for one person I should give credit to, it should be him. Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Sick of It All was like the first legitimate hardcore band that I got into. So I love that you mentioned Sick of It All. And then so many people that are friends of mine got in through bands like the Deftones. They were like a really accessible band that was popular around around where I grew up. Dan, how about you?
I think I remember that when I was like 10 years old, I was really into Slipknot. Like, it was all Slipknot for me. Like, I was very into that band, along with like Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park, Papa Roach, that kind of stuff. Then I think I went straight to like death metal and thrash metal after. And then when I was like 12 or 13, I found Terror and I heard about CDC, and I found those bands. Hey, Brecht. How's it going? Yeah. And I found CDC, I found Terror, and I was used to other kinds of metal mostly, not really the core genres, but I went to my first shows, like local shows back then around that same time, and the vibe of these shows was just so overwhelming to me in a good way, of course, but it was nothing like the shows I was used to. Like at a metal concert, there's some pushing and you just mostly people just watch and headbang a little, but like the vibe and the energy of the first hardcore shows I went to was just so, it just really stuck with me. It was something I'd never seen or experienced before. So yeah, that's how I really got into the more core, like genres, core bands.
So have you ever seen CDC? Like, I know they've been to Europe at least once. Have you seen them live?
Yeah, Vanya Brecht had a previous band and I had a previous band. And just coincidentally, we both played a show with CDC on the same night.
Yeah.
Their band and my previous band. So yeah,
what,
we did.
What year was that? A guy I know was roadieing for them who's from my hometown. CDC is from the next state over, but they've had like a pretty big fan base around this region of the United States. Right. Was that like in like 2016 ish?
Was a long time ago. It was earlier. It was 2008 or 9, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't
that
think.
Early?
No, it was a bit later. No. Maybe they played multiple times. It's possible. I don't know.
Because Lost in Scene stopped in 2011, I guess. No, isn't it?
No, man. Later. No. Yeah. We started 2008, and I think.
Anyway, the thing was, we had a band that were friends of us, Search of Fury, and they toured with CDC in the States also, and they were quite close to them. So I know at a certain time they were like touring every year, maybe twice a year, Europe. They were going so hard, and you saw them everywhere.
Yeah, a guy I know, Mike Ryan, who does vocals for the band Missing Link, has roadied for them, and I think came out to Europe to roadie for them a number of years back. So, Brecht, thank you for joining us.
Sorry, I was late.
Okay.
A Sunday nap.
I took a Sunday nap this morning. Don't worry, okay to be late. This isn't like school. You won't get written up or in trouble or anything.
I was trying to look a movie for the 100 millionth time. Didn't work out.
So, Brecht, what do you do in the band? Are you drums?
Yeah, I play drums.
All right, awesome. I'm a drummer too, so maybe I'll ask you some questions about gear or technique. And then, how did you first find out about like hardcore punk or metal? What got you into this music?
So when I was younger, I really used my dad was a big fan of the Police, so I kind of went in with the Police in a rougher sound, you know. And after the Police, I kind of, when I was, I think, maybe 11, 12, 13, you know, these bands like Sum 41 came up, Blink was quite big back then. Of course, I was a drummer, so Travis Barker was like, was a big thing for me. And then after Blink 182, I kind of got into the emo styles. It was a big thing back then, you know. One of my first bands I checked was, I think, From Autumn to Ashes and From First to Last, you know, these kind of bands. Then you kind of grow into when you're like, oh, there's even rougher things, you know. And then suddenly you hear like your first hardcore band, you're like, okay, this is what was going on. This is what I was growing to. So, and then I don't know, a lot of metalcore. And then suddenly it became a lot of B-Town. Like, everything that had no B-Town was not cool. So that was kind of how, back then it was kind of like that. And now now I can really dig like a good guitar riff instead of a good B-Town.
Yeah, Beatdown is getting popular again in the States, and I feel like that's been popular for a couple of years now. So I don't know what's coming up next, but the kids in our hometown, like the younger kids who come out to shows, they're like, they just can't get enough Beatdown. So the band I'm in, we probably put in a couple extra mosh parts, just heavy parts, just to keep us fresh in the minds of the young people or something.
Yeah. Slower violence.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you guys hit up all the major bands, because most of the guests we have, they got into it through bands like Slipknot or Deftones. Blink-182 is another one for me. I really like the first drummer. I like the first couple albums because they're so fast. But I like Travis Barker too. I respect his musicianship quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
I have just a question about Belgium. Where are you guys located in Belgium?
Have you heard of Brussels by any chance?
Yes. Yeah, I've just like, if anyone's heard of one city in Belgium in the United States, it's Brussels.
Yeah, but oftentimes people know Brussels, but they don't know Belgium. So that's why I was asking.
Okay.
But it's basically right under the United Kingdom. So it's under there, like northeast. Wait, let me think. Northeast, northwest of Europe. Sorry.
Is Brussels the city in Belgium that has like all the diamond like stores and
no, that's Antwerp.
Antwerp, that's okay.
The harbor city, diamonds and cocaine.
Okay, I've been to Belgium, and I've been on a train through Brussels and through Antwerp. I got off at the station briefly at Antwerp and saw all the diamond shops. I did not see any cocaine shops though. I guess
it's harder to find.
Yeah, they don't put a sign on the cocaine store. No, exactly. I'm mostly familiar with Ghent. I stayed in Ghent for like, oh, nice. I don't know, a little less than a week with my wife, probably like, I don't know, like 10 years ago, maybe. And we chose Ghent because apparently Ghent has the most vegetarian and vegan restaurants of any city in the world. So we went and basically just went to a different restaurant for like every meal.
Right.
Yeah, it's Ghent, a pretty alternative city.
Yeah. It is. I think hardcore is also biggest in Ghent.
Really?
Maybe because the biggest booker is also based in Ghent. So maybe that has something to do with it. But also the people that just show up are mostly from Ghent. The scene is really big there.
Oh, cool. Cool. I wish I knew that when I was there. There were no shows on the days we were there, so I didn't get to check anything out.
Right, yeah.
Also the best venue door in Ghent, I think.
It's also, especially since COVID, I feel like it has really grown in Ghent and in Belgium in general, maybe. But after COVID, the booker in Ghent really started doing a lot of shows. They're still doing it.
Yeah, we've seen here in the States, after the pandemic, there are just so many more people interested in hardcore, young kids coming out to shows. There's a lot of new bands, like a lot of people started bands when we were in the lockdown period of the pandemic. And then there's also like a lot of older guys like my age and a little bit older who were in bands like 10, 15, 20 years ago, reformed the bands sometimes permanently. So in the United States, in our region of New York, we've just had tremendous success with new bands forming and shows doing really well. You know, lots of kids coming out, making it really easy for bands to tour and stuff. So I'm glad to hear that trend is also going on in Europe too.
Yeah,
just like as ever, I guess. No? New wave of I don't know, like a new generation. We're picking up the instruments again. Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. I get worried that like young kids today, like high school kids, they're like busy playing video games and doing social media, not like learning how to play like an actual instrument. But there's like a lot of young bands out in the States now. I'm gonna skip around on our questions a little bit since we're talking about Belgium. And, we're talking about some newer bands or some bands, from your area of the world. I noticed you made a post like a little while ago promoting Belgian hardcore bands. And it looked like you had like at least 20 bands on that list. And I didn't check every single one out, but I could tell you got like youth crew bands with the varsity font, and you got like more metal style bands. What is the state of the Belgian scene like right now? Like what types of music are popular in Belgium?
Kind of everything. No, I saw you send a message, so I looked it up, but it's actually a poster from the first show, after COVID. It was a return of the Belgium hardcore scene.
Oh,
so
right.
They only used Belgian bands, and it was, the first one after 2 years, I guess, something like that, after COVID.
Yeah.
So, what was crazy for us also was one of our, after
after 2 years, one of our first shows, and but the scene was more alive than ever, I guess, on that show.
It was really crazy. The return of Belgian hardcore. That's also how return bookings. That's the booker from Kent I was talking to you about. So the return of Belgian hardcore was their first show, and that's why they stuck with the name Return Bookings, right? So that was really cool.
Oh, nice. What are a couple bands that people should check out that maybe you're friends with or are particularly really hot right now?
Maybe you've heard of Mind War because they're also on Triple B Records.
Yes. In America.
Yeah. Their guitarist has filled in with us quite a few times. But there's other. He also plays drums in a band called In Clover. They just put out a new EP, which is really sick. Game Changer is definitely a band to check out as well. And the newer bands like Weak Link. Yeah. Everything Ends. Those bands are a bit like newer, I guess. We're also doing really cool stuff, and we love hanging out with those guys as well. They're really nice guys. So
it's great you've got a band from your scene on Triple B Records, because that's like one of the hottest labels right now.
For sure.
And it probably helps get people excited to have a band that's like that caliber locally.
Yeah, for sure. They just went on a tour with Madball and the Chisel Tsunami here in Europe.
Yeah.
So, it's really cool to see our friends do stuff like that. That's awesome.
I saw that. There's a guy from my hometown, Rochester, who's, I don't know if he's a permanent member of Madball now, but he's been playing bass in Madball on tours. So I'm always like really aware of what Madball's doing, because he's always posting stuff. Yeah.
Oh, it's not the big guy anymore.
No, he quit. He quit.
Yeah, I think he like stepped back after a long time with the band. And I also like his podcast, The Smoking Word. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that is like really popular in the United States. And I wouldn't be surprised if like it's popular enough that he can do the podcast just as like a full on job. I know a couple people, they do podcasts and like somehow it's popular enough where they can quit their job and they just do their podcast about like they review movies or something, you know?
Is it about hardcore at all, or is it just in general?
Yeah, it's like about hardcore. He's like always interviewing people who are involved in hardcore, but they talk about all kinds of stuff. It's mostly hardcore, but they'll get into other things too.
Okay, I'll check it out. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm interested to hear a little bit more about Becoming AD, since that's why we've got you guys on. When did Becoming AD form? How did you guys get together?
I think we had some previous bands and we knew each other from the shows that we mutual shows we had, and we started talking about forming a band together. I think the very first time three of us, I guess you could say us three are the founding members, if you will. I think the first time the three of us did our first rehearsal was like 11 years ago or something. It was really
I want to say like 2016, 17.
I can't remember
remember
what happened. Yeah, so the thing was Dan was trying to play himself in to Lost the Scene because we need a second guitar player. Yeah, we tried a few times, and then he was like, "Well, I'm not sure." And then we all kind of came together and tried something. Actually, we want to make a band without breaks, but just make it so hard that people would start dancing. That was the original.
It was a long time ago, and I think there were some pauses, and then eventually we just started to really make a thing. I mean, come out with the music, start really playing shows and all that. It was a long time ago, the first side project
that never really got much attention until all the main projects dropped, and then.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, let's just fucking do this then. It's like a side chick that never got enough attention until the actual wife left, and then it's it's a bit like that.
Yeah. All right. So Don, I one of the things that I like the most about hardcore and punk is that usually bands have lyrics that are more authentic than what you would find in like popular music or electronic music.
Yeah.
What are some of the subjects that you're talking about in your lyrics? What types of things are you writing songs about?
Our previous singer, so the first EP has another vocalist on it. He was kind of religious, and he liked to use that in his lyrics. But the rest of the band isn't really, or at all, maybe. I'm not going to speak for the rest of the band, but I'm personally not very or not religious at all, even. So we have one song on the EP that's not like against religion or anything, but it is like against people who abuse religion for their position of power or to suppress other people. So there's a song on the EP called Devotion, which is kind of around that. And I think that the rest of the songs is more like it's about a negative self-image really often. So I think everyone can kind of relate to that to some extent or to some degree. Of course, sometimes when you write a song, or at least when I do, you tend to exaggerate certain things a little bit to, I don't know, make it more obvious in the song. But it, I feel like it definitely helps me to deal with those feelings and those things by writing about it, you know, and sharing about those feelings. Maybe people can relate to it, right? So yeah, that's a theme that comes back in the EP a lot as well.
I can totally relate to that, because I think one of the reasons why I've, like, my personal theory about why I've stuck around hardcore and listened to this music for like 25 or more years now is because, like, I've you know, had to work through like negative self-image, you know, negative self-beliefs, you know, traumatic memories. And I found that hardcore is the style of music that people are writing lyrics that address those exact things way more than you might hear in, like, I don't know, a Taylor Swift song or something.
Yeah, for sure.
I also dig, you know, kind of your stance on religion, because I'm an atheist myself, but I'm very interested in, like, Buddhist philosophies.
Yeah,
like, I don't believe in, like, kind of the theology of it, but kind of the ideas of that are represented in the religion are interesting to me.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And we here in the United States, I feel like we're a little behind, you know, maybe Europe and Belgium. We have, like, a serious, very serious problem in our country with the government and people involved in the government using religion to oppress people. You know, yeah. I probably don't need to tell you about it, because it's such a big problem. You can see from all the way over there.
Get the popcorn out every once in a while.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's pretty scary. I like it when other countries have problems, because then I get to do that. But, like, the last 10 years of this country has been like, oh, holy shit, like, pull my hair out.
Yeah, it's crazy because I mean, I always think that our like, societies are pretty, like, similar, right? We're both Western countries, if you will. So when I see people who are very Christian, very religious, it's such a difference with in Europe. I mean, I don't know too many, well, our previous singer, which is an anomaly almost. It's very rare here to have someone who's very devout Christian. And I feel like in America, that's a lot of people, right? That are very religious.
It depends on where you live. Like, where I'm from, I live in an urban area. I live in New York State. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I run into who are, like, atheists or agnostic, or they just don't have a religion. But if you go down to the South, it can get pretty crazy. You go to the rural areas and there's, like, towns where it, like, you'd have a really hard time making friends or having anybody to talk to if you're not, like, an extremely religious person or something.
Really?
It's
I think you still, like, have the same in Belgium, not in Belgium, but Europe on certain levels as well. I know, like, you know, if you go down to Portugal, people tend to grow up in a way more religious household, just put it like that. Right. So I think it's, at some extent, it's still there. But I think the biggest cities tend to have less and less of the deep rooted, you know, core fundamental religious stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see how things go for the next, like, year in the United States. But maybe I'll be forced to join a religion by the next president of the United States or something. Who knows?
But a spaghetti monster, right? The flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, that's my backup plan right there. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about, actually, before I get into some of the shows you've guys played, I mentioned, Breck, that I'm a drummer too. Tell me a little bit about your gear. What kind of set are you playing? What kind of pedal are you using? Who are some of your influences as a drummer?
So right now I'm playing on the Tama Hyperdrive. For me, I always was I used to play Mapex all the time. I love the brand, but then I kind of switched. I really like the smaller toms Hyperdrive. And the thing is, I bought the DW pedal once in my life, and once you play on them,
yeah,
you cannot go to anything else. And then, for me, cymbals, I love Zildjian. They're the most expensive, but they're actually the only ones that really stick with me all the time, because normally I used to break, like, every 3 months a full cymbal set.
Yeah.
Then I started playing Istanbul and was really, really was really good. But at a certain point, you know, Zildjian is just, the sound is, like, super, for me, it's personally so bright, so good. So I like this kind of I don't know, more high end drum gear, because it's just better. You know, the better, the more in drums is it? It's really like the more you pay up, the better sound you get.
Zildjian's hard to beat. They're also like one of the oldest companies in the world. They've been like continuously operating since like the 1500s or something crazy. Yeah, and I hear what you're saying about Tama. I don't have a DW pedal. I use a Tama Iron Cobra pedal.
Right.
That's a classic, and I tried, right? I have a double bass Tama Iron Cobra pedal. I played it for like, I've been playing that type of pedal for like 20 years. I probably had like three of them that broken periodically, and then I tried to use the Speed Cobra, the longboard pedals, but I found I couldn't learn it. It was like my body is too accustomed to this one pedal. I can never use a different pedal. But I love Tama drums. Tama's great drums, and I used to use Mapex too. I had a Mapex set that I have had since high school, and then I went and bought a new Mapex set, and like the company is just not as good anymore. One of the drums when I bought it, it was like not perfectly round, it was like oval shaped, the heads wouldn't even fit on it. So after that, I was like, oh, this company's going downhill. And a guy I know works at a drum shop was like, yeah, a lot of people are unhappy with where they've gone. So I think you were right to jump ship.
Any idea why that happened?
Apparently he told me that they started having they used to have the drums manufactured at a different factory, and then they changed factories in China. They've made all the shells in China, but they built the drums in the United States so that they could say these drums are made in the USA. But they like aren't really made in the United States. They're just like putting all the parts together in the United States, which is not really the same thing.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, since I've asked Breck and Don about their gear, I don't know as much about bass. My brother plays bass in my band, so I've helped him pay for musical equipment before, but I want to hear a little bit about your rig, Vanya. What kind of bass setup do you got? Are you using any like pedals, and what are your influences?
I think it kind of, when it comes to influences, I think it's very simple. I think for me, the bass player I always look up to would be Ryan Martini from Mudvayne, because he would just, I don't know, he just sticks out in a lot of ways. I mean, he would be a metal bass player that plays like he would be playing jazz or funk. Not like Les Claypool, but still very aggressive. And he would play with his fingers, not a pick. And he would still have this very, almost theatrical performance. So for me, when I was younger and I would see Mudvayne play, I was just in awe about this guy. And I think until this very day, if I ever find some kind of a lamp and I rub it and there's a genie that pops out, my first wish would be to play like Ryan Martini. And that's it. And I'm good to go. Sadly, I'm not at that level yet, but maybe one day. You know. But I think when it comes to gear, I'm not this kind of fancy dude with, you know, all the super crazy equipment. It also kind of depends on what I'm doing, because I have a very big Marshall setup. Which is basically just too damn big and heavy to just take on the road all the time. So it's still in my hallway. It's too loud to play at home. It's too heavy to take back on the road. So it's there. It's being pretty and beautiful, but it's not doing a lot. But I think when it comes to, you know, playing shows, I use my Harker. It's solid. It's good. I have it for, I don't know, almost 20 years now. It still does the job every damn time. I didn't have to bring it in once, you know, to get things fixed. It's just as solid as it was from day one. And I think when it comes to pedals, actually, funny enough, I have it right here. It's a Electro Harmonix Soul Food. I just got a new one because we're going to be leaving on tour this weekend, and I want to make sure my equipment is all mint condition. So I think that's basically the only pedal I use.
It's the distortion, actually, right?
I've been playing in this band. Sorry?
It's distortion, right? Or overdrive?
It's mostly an overdrive.
Right, yeah.
And also, it kind of allows you to blend in quite easily, because I think the thing that always made me held back on bass pedals is as soon as you have some kind of a distortion or overdrive pedal, it's like from nothing to all the way, and there's no like in between. And this one just, it really, you can find a very nice balance into it. So, I think this one really works well for me now in this band, because since I play with my fingers, not a pick, I tend not to have this very, you know, sharp sound to my playing. So, and this kind of adds to it. So I think for this band, this works really well for me, because I'm too stubborn to play with a pick. So then the pedals need to.
No, it's cool. Over. You should keep it, I think.
I'm going to keep it anyways.
Yeah. I love bands that do a bass overdrive pedal. And I love like the Sans amp sound. That was popular when I was playing in bands like maybe 15 years ago. It can give it just like a little bit of an edge that helps it keep up with the like distorted heavy guitars.
Yeah, I think most of the time that's just a problem. You know, you try to find your space in the whole sound, which is already a fucking wall that just falls in. So I know sometimes it's a bit hard. But I think with this works really well. Yeah, and I also tend to, you know, like slap and pop every now and then for accent. So this still keeps the nice treble in there without losing all the power on the low end. I really love this one. And when it comes to guitars, I prefer Ibanez. I don't know how you say it.
Your
side Ibanez. Of the sea. And now I play the Soundgear SRX705, but I think it's a model that's not available in Europe anymore. I think only America or Japan or something like that. It's a really heavy, guitar, but it just plays. Yeah, again, it's one of the first basses I had. Good, not like my first initial bass, you know, not the crappy first one you start with, but the first one investment, and until this day, it's still my favorite girl to play. So yeah, for sure.
So I saw looking at your Instagram that you guys had opened up for Age of Apocalypse, like a while ago. Do you guys have like big acts coming through Belgium periodically, or was that just like kind of a special treat?
No, actually they do, right? Because the booker we talked about, Return Bookings, they do a lot of shows. Like when a band has a Euro tour and they pass Belgium, then very often it's Return Bookings in Ghent who are hosting a show with them. So last week, for example, we opened for Scott Vogel's other band, Buried Alive, also a Return Booking show. And on Monday, we played in Antwerp with Denial of Life from the United States. So yeah, bands pass through Belgium all the time, and it's really cool. We get to see a lot of bands from all over the world. So
I was following that Buried Alive tour on Instagram, because Buffalo is just down the road from Rochester. They're the next city over. And then one of the other bands that was on tour supporting Buried Alive, Pure Heel, is a band that my band has played with a couple of times now. So it's cool that you guys got to share a stage with both of those bands.
Yeah, for sure. I hadn't heard about them yet. Pure Heel, have they been playing for a long time? Or
they've been playing for a little while. I think they've been mostly more active after the pandemic. I'm not sure what year they formed, but they share a drummer. It's the same drummer, Pure Heel and Buried Alive.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so it's like they're kind of one of the up and coming bands. But it's cool to see that they got to play through Europe, and it's really nice having somebody like Scott Vogel kind of in the local area, because we get to see Buried Alive, we get to see Terror, and then occasionally one of his earlier bands, Despair, will play a show. So they played a couple shows last year around the area, and people always go wild for all his bands. Every single band he does just gets to be like really popular,
man, you know?
Very hard to beat him as a front man. He's got the energy.
The energy at the Friday show was not very, I mean, people were kind of sleepy almost, but he still manages to, like, I don't know how he does it, but he can still make it so that the show still, that the energy still, I don't know.
He's a keeper of the faith. It's
crazy. Yeah.
That's it, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a great front man.
Yeah, Terror is another favorite of mine. And, you know, it's like, they've been around for so long and they've toured so much that, you know, they've got such a great reputation. So great that you guys got to share a stage with them. Vanya mentioned that you guys are leaving for a tour soon. Can you tell me a little bit about that tour? Are there any bands that you're looking forward to playing with? Any cities that you're going to hit up that look particularly exciting?
Yeah. So because we're all obviously, I have a job, so it's not a big full tour or anything. We do a few small weekenders now, so this is going to be the first one of those. It's going to be a few cities in Germany. We mentioned one of our influences was Lowest Creature, right? One of those crossover bands from Europe. So they're playing Friday as well. So it's really awesome to play with those guys. Then we have another show. That one is in Siegen, Germany. The other one is in Herford, Germany, I believe. And then Obhausen. I didn't know any of these cities personally, so I don't know if you're going to know them. Maybe not, because it's a bit far for you, but maybe you did. I don't know.
I've actually been to Germany a bunch of times because my brother-in-law was in the Air Force, and we would just go over and stay at his house. He like lived in this small German village, but I don't know those cities you're talking about. So I don't know only know like Munich.
It's
and
not.
We were on a bill in Germany once, but then we had to cancel. I don't know if it was because of COVID or we had some lineup trouble, but in any case, it's nice to now be able to actually go there and play a few shows there. So yeah, we're really excited.
I guess we can start wrapping things up just a second. Is there anything that you wanted to speak to that we hadn't got to? Any other plans for 2024 beyond this tour? Do you have any big shows or recordings lined up for the year?
We're gonna do a little weekender in the UK as well with a lot of cool bands. We're playing with Tempers Frey on Friday and then or on Saturday, and then Sunday it's Dawnfest, which is a kind of a bigger show. I don't know if you've heard of it, Dawnfest, but it has a lot of really cool bands. I think like 10 or 12 bands are playing, so that's going to be really cool. Then we have another weekender planned where we're going to do Germany, France, and then a show in Belgium. That's with our friends in Minus Youth, so we're really looking forward to that as well. And then we have some loose shows here and there, you know, just one-offs.
Got a cool weekender with Search of Fury also.
With a house show, right? That's also
With a house show, always
yeah,
nice.
That's always a lot of fun, obviously. Playing a house show is really cool.
And then the summer is still kind of open, so I think we're just playing a lot of shows now and hope we can pick a few festivals in summer.
We're playing that one in Denmark, right? Support our Scene Fest or something. So yeah that's another cool one. Really looking forward to. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My band, it's called World Purge. We're all old guys too, so we all have like jobs and kids and stuff, so we don't have like the ability to do a long tour, but I kind of like doing bands more as like an old guy now than I did when I was like in my teens and 20s, because I feel like I have less pressure on myself to get popular and to like make all
that's
the right
true.
Friends and stuff. I can also like afford better equipment now, which is good, because
that
I used to
really
like
good.
Cut my hands on the cymbals because they'd all be so cracked and chunks would be missing out of them. Now I can buy a new cymbal. Yeah. But I will say, in the United States, drumsticks are getting so freaking expensive. I spend $30 or $40 a week on drumsticks, because I'll break a
Jesus.
Couple drumsticks every practice.
I was telling them the same, but I can tell you, I switched up one thing. Instead of an iron hoop, I now play a wooden hoop. I play the SLR Tama wooden hoop. Game changer. I used to break like 3 sticks every rehearsal. Now I did a full studio session for 5 songs with 1 pair of sticks.
Oh, nice. I never thought of that. My snare drum has like a special rim. It's not like a die cast rim or a triple flange rim. It's like a stick. It's called a stick saver rim. It's supposed to like make it so your sticks break less. And I think it helps a little, but I still break sticks all the time. So I don't know. I got to buy them in bulk. I want to buy like a whole pallet of drumsticks, because it's just getting pricey.
Yeah, I think being a drummer is definitely the most expensive instrument you can pick, right? Because you're breaking cymbals, you're breaking sticks. I mean, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I should be a vocalist. That instrument's pretty cheap.
Wrong choice, dude. You picked the wrong instrument.
Yeah,
keep
man.
Myself
you don't have
alive.
To carry anything. All you have to do is just be there, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So where can folks go to listen to Becoming AD? Where can they go if they want to buy merch or find out about what shows you're playing?
We're obviously on all those the regular streaming platforms, right? Spotify. You can find the album on YouTube or we're on Bandcamp, Apple Music. I'm not an Apple user, but I'm sure it's on there. The thing we use should divide it to all these platforms, so I'm sure you can find it there as well. For merch, we have a like big Cartel, which is like some kind of web store. We haven't really updated it because we're going to do the little weekender tours first. And then after those, we're probably going to put the tour leftovers on there. So they can always go and find it there in a few weeks. But if they DM us and send us a DM on Instagram, we can always show them what we have. And, you know, we can
ship it to your house.
Yeah. It's gonna cost a little bit of money to ship it to the US, I think, but I don't know.
We just do it in bulk. We just find one big everybody's things together, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, then. Before we close out, any last shout outs? Any record labels you want to bump? You gotta thank. I'll let you guys have the last word.
Definitely a shout out to Dead Farm Records. It's a Belgian label that does a lot of cool stuff. He helped us out with our Tiki packs. Is that the way you pronounce that?
Yeah.
We did tapes with Kick Out the Jams, also an older label from Belgium. So that guy's really cool as well. Maybe our friends, we mentioned them before, but Weak Link, Everything Ends, Game Changer, and Clover, those are really cool bands. Mind War from Belgium that people could check out if they want. I don't know, guys, anything else that I'm forgetting, maybe?
You hit all the buttons, man.
I think you covered most of it, right? I mean,
right.
Perfect shout out.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being on. This was a fun interview, and I love it when like more than one guy from the band is on, because we always have it's like a lot more fun. We make way more jokes. The more people you get on, the funnier people act. Sure.
Should not be too serious, right?
No, for sure. Hey, thank you for having us, by the way. This was really cool. Like I said, we don't do it a lot, so it's really cool.
Shout out.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being on. This was a fun interview, and I love it when like more than one guy from the band is on, because we always have it's like a lot more fun. We make way more jokes. The more people you get on, the funnier people act.
Should not be too serious, right?
No, for sure. Hey, thank you for having us, by the way. This was really cool. Like I said, we don't do it a lot, so it's really cool.
The Hardcore Archive podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit, with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.